And so today, as we find ourselves inside of God's Word, we find ourselves in a unique moment for each one of us because we have a chance to look back and reflect on His favor. I want you to think about in your own life those moments where you experience His favor in such a profound and powerful way that you could never forget it. I can recall so many different moments through the years, and I wanted to kind of bookend the experiences by thinking back about the first mission effort I ever went on. I was a young college pastor in Delcy, Oklahoma, and we had this idea that we would ride a school bus from Oklahoma City to Grants, New Mexico. And if you ever calculate the miles, there's a long ride between those two places. But we were young. We thought, hey, this will be fun. We'll get on this bus. We didn't calculate the temperature. We didn't calculate anything. And so it was like driving an oven all the way across from Oklahoma to New Mexico for that mission effort. And I can remember thinking, what will we experience when we walk into this little church in Grants, New Mexico? Having no idea what we would encounter, I knew this, that God was directed us and was guiding us. And so we got on that bus, headed off to Grants, New Mexico, and walked into that little church that day. And I'll never forget because that pastor, it was on a Saturday, and that pastor said, you know, it's been such a difficult season for us, and things have been so hard, and people don't seem to be open to what we're trying to accomplish. And being young and naive, my first thought was, well, surely we can trust God for His favor to rest on all these college kids who've come all the way from Oklahoma City out of 9 different universities, that they could come and share the truth of what God, only God can do. And so I can remember so vividly walking that first Sunday, and there were less than 50 people in that room, and it was overwhelmingly challenging by way of environment. And then as I began to pray, I began to tell the students, you know what we can do? Well, let's trust God to do what only He can do. Let's ask for His favor to rest on what we're trying to accomplish. And so we believe God for His favor to come upon that entire experience. And it's amazing what transpired, because between the first Sunday we were there and the second Sunday, the first Sunday less than 50, the second Sunday over 200 people were in that church. And the pastor was astonished as he looked and marveled at what God had done. And the only thing I could think of as a young guy who'd ridden on a hot bus all the way over there was God's favor had rested on what we had chosen to do because we chose to obey. So you'll discover today, and as you'll discover throughout these number of weeks coming up during the month of October, that His favor connects and links directly into our obedience and our choice to be obedient. And today we find ourselves at a place where we get to encounter something very unique, because we encounter what happens when God shows up, all right? Because what transpires in Exodus chapter 33 and 34 is a unique season and moment in which there's this opportunity for God to do something absolutely amazing and transforming, and it's an opportunity for the people to see God at work after they have chosen to do the direct opposite of what God's plan was for their life. In other words, you find in Exodus 33 and 34 the aftermath of what transpires when they build a golden calf because Moses has gone too long on the mountain meeting with God. And the people, they sold themselves short by way of wondering where Moses was, and finally told Aaron, look, we don't know what happened to Moses. We just know that we'd like to have an experience of being able to worship God, so let's just build a calf. Let's just build an idol that will be our way of moving forward. Now, I want you to think about it for a second, because oftentimes in life, it is easy for us to build an idol. It's easy for us to establish something that is less than God's very best for our lives. We build that thinking, hey, you know, this has been our way of connecting to God. And the truth is, it couldn't be anything further from the truth. And so this is what transpired. They build a golden calf. Moses comes down from the mount. And let me ask you this. Does Moses come down and say, oh, don't worry about that. That's not a big deal. You guys have just chosen to violate one of the commands. It's not a big issue. Don't get uptight about it. No. I think Moses expressed himself very clearly. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, you're one of the people that just built the calf. You've just built this golden calf, and all of a sudden, you see the Ten Commandments flying in the air. You realize very quickly, uh-oh, I think I made a mistake here. I think I chose the wrong path to get on, and as a result, you get to suffer the consequence of that. And so what we'll discover today as we think about this is this. I want you to think about in your own life, what happens in your life when God shows up? Because I want you to think about this question. Do you recall the last time when God showed up in your life? Because I was thinking about this today, reflecting on the month of October. October is always a very special time of reflection for me, because not only is it a change of season, and the weather outside is a reminder, for a moment at least, of that change, and yet at the same time, it reminds me of 14 years ago this month when One Heart was birthed at the beginning of the story of One Heart Church. And I can remember so vividly, by way of recall, just that those moments in which we watch God show up and meet needs and remind us of His faithfulness and connect us into His purpose and open our eyes to see and experience what He intended for our lives. You see, back in those days, all the way back, you go back 14 years ago, you would find us meeting at the Ravinia Club right off of Ashford Dunwoody in a small room, and I can remember so vividly the experience of encountering God and asking for His favor to rest on our church. I had no idea that the summer of 2013 would open the door for another opportunity to see His favor when He provided a beautiful facility for us to be able to be a part of and become a part of a bigger story of all that God wanted to do. What I want you to see is this. In every moment, in every junction in your life, you have the opportunity to see Him show up, to show His favor in your life. You just have to come to a place where you're willing to say, you know what, I want to experience His favor in my life. So let's look, if we could, at a few verses, and I want you to see something that transpired, because Moses parks and camps at one place, and that is, he wants more than anything else for God's favor to rest on what He's doing, on His people, on His plan, what God only could do. And so as you think about this, watch this very carefully. Exodus 33, look if you would, beginning in verse 10. And follow me today as we look at this, because I want you to kind of see what transpired. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Look on down, if you would, verse 13. Notice what he said. Now, therefore, I pray you, listen to what he prays. If I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. Look at verse 17 just for a moment. Notice what he said. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. Watch what he says here. For you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Look on, if you would, chapter 34. And look at verse 9, if you would. 34, verse 9. He said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your own possession. So when you read that, what is the key word that is emphasized over and over? It is the word favor. And so you start thinking about favor, and what is favor a reflection of? It's a reflection of His undeniable blessings and His supernatural instructions and insights. And so what He does is, what you discover is, it's undeniable. When God chooses to bless you, you just can't argue with it, because it is something you couldn't do on your own. But it's beyond that. It's also when He gives you some supernatural insight or instruction about exactly what you're supposed to do. And you see, it's interesting. If you go back to Grant, New Mexico, and you go back to 40 years ago, you can recall, if you go back to anyone who was on that trip, which, by the way, it's interesting that even just two Sundays ago in this room was somebody who was on that trip 40 years ago. But if you go back to each one of them, they would all say to you, it was this undeniable blessing that became a part of our story and became a part of what it is God intended to do in each one of our lives. And so many different people ended up in ministry, ended up doing different things to accomplish God's purpose, because they experienced His favor. And so what Moses does is, Moses brings to light before God that if I found favor, if I experienced favor, if your favor does rest on me and God affirmed, yes, you have found favor, and I know you by name. And you if you're thinking about that verse, you probably ought to underline that, because here's what you need to realize. Not only does he know your name, he knows the moments he'd like to bless you and let you experience his favor in a profound and significant and powerful way. So today, as you think about it, I want you to think about this. Take the last circumstance, the last situation, the last issue you encountered that you processed completely on your own without taking the time to ask for God's divine and anointed direction. And as a result, it didn't turn out like you wanted it to. It didn't accomplish what you thought could happen. And then go back to the last time that you had a situation or circumstance where you said, Lord, I got to trust you beyond anything I could ever imagine. You see, when I think about that, I think back about different moments where I've watched God work in people's lives, in people's circumstances, in people's situations. And why does Moses want to experience his favor? Because everyone here would like to experience the undeniable blessing of God on their life. Everyone here would like to know that God is speaking to their heart and God is speaking to their life and speaking into their life in such a way that it changes the way they live their life. So let's think about this. Let's kind of put this in motion. The people of God, they get out of check by establishing an idol. And what does Moses do when he comes down from the hill? The Bible says Moses comes down and the calf ends up in the fire. And it's interesting. In fact, you read this, you realize that it was definitely not wise on their part to choose to build an idol. Definitely not wise. Because what he does is, first of all, he throws the idol in the fire. Then he takes the dust, throws it in the water, and makes the people drink it to remind them of the consequence of the choice they have made. And as a result of that, they find themselves wondering, where are they at in this story? What is it that God is going to do next to remind them of how important it is that they seek his favor? And that's what gets us to a place where I want to show you today what happens with Moses, because Moses had a habit. He had a habit that he established that set in motion his capacity to be able to function in a way that allowed the people to know that they could seek God out, they could walk into God's presence and allow God and experience God speaking to them. And so as a result, he would pitch a tent. So look, if you go to chapter 33 for a moment and note what he says in verse 7. Exodus 33, verse 7. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp. And he called the tent of meeting, and everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about, whenever Moses went out to the tent, that all the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. Now stop there and think this about it for a second. Here's what Moses does. He pitches a tent far enough away that it's not in the middle of their regular world. In other words, it's not right there where they are. They have to go to it. And they go to it for a reason. They go to it because they want to experience what it is that God needs to say to them, and only he can say it. And so what do they do? When Moses, think about this, when Moses comes out of his regular tent and starts walking to the tent of meeting, well, all of a sudden, everybody comes out of their tent and looks and watches as he walks into that tent. Look on now, because notice what transpired. Verse 9, whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise, worship each at the entrance of the tent, and thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Now, I want you to think about this in light of wanting to experience his favor when God shows up, which, by the way, is always amazing and always unique when he chooses to show up in our lives. But you'll discover something, that the undeniable blessings of God are directly linked to us obeying God and the things he's called us to do with our life. All right, so when we obey him, we experience him. When we experience him, we begin to sense his favor. When we sense his favor, what happens is we have a peace, we have an opportunity to worship, and that's really what transpires here. They sensed his favor, and they began to worship him whenever Moses would go to that tent. Now I want you to imagine for a second, when that cloud would come to the entrance of that tent, Can you fathom for a moment what would go through the minds and hearts of everybody who's encamped around there? Because remember, the tent of meeting is removed from right there where they live. They have to look a distance and they have to see it. And when they see it, they realize that God is up to something else because Moses is there. And it's interesting what the scripture says, because Moses gets to talk to God as a friend speaks to a friend. And so what I want you to see today is, as we look at this passage, I want you to think about some action points you can take. Because the reality is that if we want his favor to rest on our lives, we've got to be willing to do the same thing. The first thing is this. We've got to be willing to pitch a tent. Because in chapter 33, the Bible says that he'd pitched this tent wherever they were to become a tent of meeting. And I don't know if you're like me, but camping is not my most skilled gift, I would say. The truth is, being able to put a tent up is a challenging thing in itself for me. And when I was a young boy, I was a Boy Scout, and during those days, I could do a lot better job at accomplishing that task. But as I got older, those skills diminished. But the truth is, if I needed a tent in which I knew God was going to meet me there, I have a feeling I'd know how to drive the stakes and set it up and put the poles up and put it up exactly like I like to anticipate. And that's exactly what Moses does. Wherever they are, he pitches a tent, and it's called the tent of meeting. So let's look at that with me, if you would, for a second. I want to show you several things that stand out to you. First of all, when he pitches this tent, he does it for a reason. He pitches it to a place where he can dedicate his life, just like you and I should dedicate our place that where we meet with God as well. And so he pitches this tent knowing that he's going to hear from God. And so what happens if you and I make a decisive step in our own life and say, Lord, there is going to be a place where I seek your face, where I hear you speak, where I discern your will, where I surrender my own spirit, and as a result, I get to watch your favor rest on me. Imagine what it'd be like if you pitched a tent and you dedicated a place. This is the place where I dedicate my heart, my life to accomplishing what he intended. But it doesn't stop there, because he said not only did he pitch this tent, the second thing is you choose. The people watched as Moses would go to the tent of meeting, and they would stand and worship. And here's what you and I need to learn. If we are going to experience his favor, we have to choose in our own lives a life of worship and wonder, where we get to encounter him, just like the song we sang at the beginning of our worship set this morning, I stand amazed in the presence. You think about this for a second. When I stand amazed, what happened? I open my heart up to worship and experience him. I get to experience what it is he has for my life. And I want you to think about your own life. What happens if you dedicate a place and then you choose to live a life of wonder and worship? In other words, he becomes everything to you. And you start hearing him speak to your heart. You start hearing him speak into your life. What transpires with the people was they stood there. Now, and you know, the Bible does not define how long they stood there, but I guarantee you it was not a boring encounter that caused them to lose attention. Especially after they had been confronted because of their idol they had chose to build. And here's what I want you to remember. If you let an idol rule, watch this. If you let an idol rule, his favor will be absent. So if you let anything rule in your life that takes precedent, watch this, over his presence. Then, which by the way, what made them do this idol? Impatience. They couldn't wait another day for Moses to come off the mountain, even though he was with God, coming to bring them clear, definitive instruction. What about you? You ever been impatient? You ever let something get ahead of what it is God intended to do? And instead you took matters into your own hands. You did it your own way. See, what I want you to think about today is this. As a result of their choice, they knew they only had one or two ways to go. They could all end up dying, or they could realign themselves with the favor of God, which was brought to them through the example of Moses, that he was living an obedient life. And out of that confession came something very powerful. But they had to be willing to dedicate their lives to that. They didn't stop there, though. because when it talks here, it talks about they spoke face to face in verse 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. You see, here's where something transpires that opens up our understanding of favor. Because what Moses models is that when we begin to encounter God and begin to experience what it is He has for our life, we begin to share with Him as an intimate friend. We begin to tell Him everything about who we are. Because what is Moses' secret to experiencing God's favor? It's intimacy. And what is intimacy? It's allowing your heart to be fully known. And so what Moses does is, Moses says, you know what? I'm going to talk to God face to face because He's my true friend. And then I'm going to let Him know that these obstinate people, the only way we can get where we're supposed to go is for to know that His favor is going with us. In other words, His undeniable blessing is watching over us. And so today, as you think about that, now think about it for a second. You pitch a tent. Watch this. You pitch a tent. You dedicate a place. You open your heart to experiencing who He is. You start speaking to Him in such an intimate and powerful and meaningful way that you hear Him speak to you as well. Because the whisper, watch this, the whisper of God will shake your whole world. All you have to do is be willing to say, Lord, I am going to pitch my tent. I'm going to put a place in my own life where only You can abide in my world. And You speak into my heart. And You change the way I look at life. So the first thing that happens is they pitch this tent. And they encounter, and Moses encounters an intimacy that is profound and powerful. And I want you to think about this. Everyone here has had some moments where it was just you and God. No one could address your issue. No one could solve your problem. No one could stand in the stead of what it is you're facing. That gap was too big. But then all of a sudden, in the intimacy of that moment, you let God know exactly where you are. And watch this carefully. If you're not careful, you'll let idols rule over intimacy. Because what idols say is, idols say, I'm in control. Intimacy says, He's in control. Now think about the difference there. You have an idol in your life, and by the way, it can be something as simple as a car or some other thing. It doesn't matter. It could be your house or whatever. You could create any kind of idol you want, but that idol removes you from experiencing the intimacy of what He intended. So I want you to think about today. Think about your own life. Process your own life. In the last year, how many idols got in your way and how many intimate moments were missed? Because what God wants to do for each one of us is meet us at the point of our greatest need, speak into our hearts and lives, and change the way we look at life. All right? So, which by the way, you realize you can make an idol out of just wanting the affirmation of someone? If you sit around thinking about it, if they would just affirm me, then I have that idol, I have that answer. You know, and the truth of the matter is, that's not the answer. What did the people of God do? They built a golden calf because they thought their affirmation would come from someone else. And Aaron, can you imagine? I want you to think, just stop for a second, think about this for a second. Moses comes down the hill, and who does he see first? He sees Aaron. All right, what was Aaron's responsibility? Aaron was supposed to make sure that they maintain an intimacy with God while he was up on the mountain hearing from God. So here's the question. Did Aaron do a great job at making sure they maintain the intimate relationship? No. Aaron listened to people instead of God. And what I want you to see today is this. Point number one. Pitch your tent so you can hear from God first, not others. Because if you think people are going to take precedent over His purpose, then you misunderstand how His favor works. Because His favor comes when we allow Him to speak into our lives, into our hearts, and to transform our lives. And that's where that intimate moment comes from. All right, so the first thing you do is pitch a tent. Look on, though, in chapter 33, there's a unique verse, part of this verse, that I want you to see in verse 11, because it's here that you get to see you get to connect into what transpires with this, with Moses and Joshua. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second, because this is one of the most vital lessons we can learn as it relates to his favor. Because here's what Moses understood. When I'm encountering his favor, the most important choice I can make is to walk with true friends. To walk with true friends. And I want to give you a case in point to go back to this 14th anniversary of One Heart that's this month. When One Heart was birthed, there were some true friends who walked with this pastor in an intimate and powerful way that profoundly shaped the next 14 years plus of my life. And their names weren't Joshua, but their names were powerful, and they were etched on my heart forever because they were true friends. All right? So Joshua, it's interesting because what you discover is when you walk with true friends, they never walk away. They always walk towards you. And that's the distinguishing mark of a friend who has experienced the favor of God. They stay with you no matter what it is you're facing in life. And that's what Joshua was to Moses. All right? So think about it for a second. Look at it with me if you would, because you see here's Joshua, and a couple of things stand out to me that are a great reminder to you and me. Everybody needs somebody to walk with them. Because, watch this, if you look at it, what happens when Elijah is about to wrap up his journey and he's got things, who walked beside him? Elisha. Daniel, as great as he was, who experienced the favor of God, we'll look at it in the weeks to come. Daniel had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were his three faithful, intimate friends. I mean, think about it. Everybody needs somebody. So ask yourself the question, who walks with you? Who walks beside you? Who, watch this, who stays at the tent when you leave the tent? That's really what transpires here. Because everybody needs somebody. And I'm going to tell you what you discover too. Because the Bible says that Joshua would not depart the tent. Now, I want you to imagine for a second. God has been there speaking. That pillar of cloud has rested on that tent. Moses walks out. That particular moment is over, but the tent is still a sacred place of meeting. It's still a sacred place to encounter life the way God intended. I want you to imagine for a moment, what if everyone found someone who would walk beside them and, watch this, be ready to stand by you as a friend? Because here's what Joshua modeled. When you're ready to stand by your friend, when they need you, you'll be there, and when you need them, they'll be there. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. And it's interesting. The difference between friends and acquaintances. An acquaintance, at the first hint of a challenge, walks away. A friend, at the first hint of a challenge, walks closer in order to hear your heart, to hear what it is that you're facing. And so I want you to imagine for a second, you're here, and all of a sudden you start thinking about God's favor. And you start realizing you need to pitch a tent. But when you pitch the tent, you got to figure out who's going to go stand by the tent when you go in. Who's going to be there to be a part of your journey? Who's going to be there to rejoice in your favor and watching God's favor at work in your life? And what I want you to see today is this. Life is too short not to pitch a tent, and life is too short not to have a friend or friends that actually walk with you. And by the way, don't filter all your friends based on your criteria. Base your criteria on God's word. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So if someone who's your friend speaks to you the truth and it's painful, accept the pain is coming from someone who really loves you. I mean, you can go through and you can break it all down. You take the book of Proverbs, you can figure out who a true friend is and who someone is not. All right, so imagine for a second, you're sitting at church, you get told it's time to buy a tent. It's time, and I'm not talking about a literal tent, by the way. I'm talking about a spiritual tent, a place that you can pitch where, and by the way, the reason it was removed from the middle of camp was everybody had to put some effort forward to go to that tent and hear from God. And which tells you it's the same thing for each one of us. We put effort forward to experience what it is God has for us. And as we do that, we start seeing who it is that lines up beside us as true friends. And those true friends speak to our hearts and challenges and bless us in profound and powerful ways. So what transpires here is you get friendship out of it. And what Moses is showing us through Joshua being there, which, by the way, you never find Joshua walking away. You always find Joshua walking toward you. That's why in Joshua chapter 1, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua was in charge. What did Moses do for Joshua to set in motion the success of his life? What did he do? He put his hand on him and said, you know what? You're going to make it happen. You're going to be able to accomplish what it is God intends for you. So what happens to you? And maybe we start thinking about, what about friendship? What is it all about? It's walking beside someone just like Jesus does. It's walking beside someone and realizing that this is what Jesus would do. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you have someone like that, when you have a friend like that, for example, if you get a bad diagnosis, who do you call? If you get a challenging circumstance, who do you want to talk to? If you get a circumstance that conflicts your spirit and you don't know which way to turn, who do you turn to? And what I want you to see today is this. As much as you need a place to meet, you also need someone to meet with you. And you need a friend who also encourages you. And I'm going to tell you, when I think about Moses' success, I think about the profound power of Joshua's life. Joshua was a young man. He was a young man, and it's interesting because he described him not as this old guy who could barely get around. He was this young man, which shows you something. And here's what I wanted to point out to you. Your friends don't have to be exact age you are. Your friend can be a different age. They don't have to be the same age category group. They may bring a different perspective if they're a different generation or different opportunity for you to be able to hear from them, from their perspective, what they see. So first you pitch a tent. Then you learn that you need a friend. The third thing that transpires, look at it with me if you would, because here you learn when you get into chapter 34, excuse me, in verse 12 of 33, you come to this place where all of a sudden Moses realizes something. He needs to be very specific about what he's requesting. And here's what I want you to see. When it comes to his favor, always share your greatest requests. If you're asking him to do something that's profoundly amazing, share those great requests with God, because I'm telling you what will happen. He'll meet you at the point of your greatest request. That's what happens with Moses. Because look what transpired. Verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up the people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Now, can you imagine for a second? Here's Moses, he's talking to God, and God told him one thing, and then all of a sudden he starts going, wait, how do I get there if you don't go with me? And here's what Moses understood, and I want you to see this as well. You want to build a great life, you want to build a great connection to him, you want to experience what he intends for your life, you have to be willing to go with him. And you have to let him go with you. All right? So what transpired? Look on if you would. What transpired in verse? Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you also have found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. You might want to underline that, because here's what he's saying. When you quit being anxious about your circumstances and rest with a conviction of his favor, I'll give you peace, I'll give you rest, I'll be with you wherever you're going. Verse 15, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here, for how then can it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? Now, think about how big this statement is. When Moses starts speaking, he says, look, this is not just about you showing up every once in a while things are going good. We need you with us all the time. And listen carefully. When life is difficult, he is with you. When life is blessed, he is with you. And what he's trying to say here is, look, don't get caught up. Don't get caught up thinking, I only want him with me when things are going good, and then I, and then he forgets me when things are bad. He is with you always. And that's why he keeps bringing back this same point. Favor, favor, favor. What was that favor? It was the spiritual insights and instructions that were so supernatural that it would set in motion his opportunity to experience life the way God intended. Think about it for a second. What if you have some great request that is directly linked to his favor, and all he wants you to do is experience his favor? The way you do that is you surrender yourself to him. And just two or three things I want to grab hold of as you look at this particular verse, because I want to see this and wrap it together with the character of God to show you something that is so profound as it relates to your life journey and who he wants you to be. All right, so the thing I want you to see is this. You share your greatest request, and here's what you do. First of all, you reflect, you understand that reflection is an opportunity to be able to experience what it is he has for your life. And that reflection sets in motion, it creates this opportunity, because Moses starts reflecting, and he starts reflecting thinking, wow, what do I do? How do I move forward? How do I experience what it is that you have for me? And then all of a sudden, you start making very specific requests. And I just want to show you two or three of those that have very significant application to each one of our lives. Because what he does here is he makes very specific requests, which I want to show you, and I want to remind you of this. You want to experience his favor? Ask specifically for his favor in a particular circumstance and watch him work in that. Ask for that favor, all right? So two or three things. First of all, seek his ultimate intent. In other words, ask the Lord to show you what it is he wants to do. Seek his intent for your life and say, Lord, show me. Second thing is this, seek his continual presence. In other words, ask him to be with you no matter what. Lord, be with me. The third thing is this, seek his glory. Because what Moses does is when he gets over into this later in the chapter, in verse 18, look at verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, I will do for this thing for you, which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. And I'm telling you what he's looking for. He's looking for a moment that affirms everything about what it is that God has already showed him and is going to show him in the future. And I'm going to tell you what happens to each one of us. When we seek his glory, and it's interesting, by the way, when you get in the New Testament, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And so what he's trying to get across to each one of us is that we can experience his glory like Moses experienced his glory by living to accomplish what he intends for our life, what we intend for our life. All right? And so you seek his glory, and then what happens? You experience his affirmation. Because what transpired was God did show up. And if you read the latter part of chapter 33, you realize he showed up. He couldn't see him face to face, but he showed up and let him know that this is who he was and this is how he worked. So what is affirmation? It's when God affirms his presence in our lives and we know it's him. And in chapter 34, just to wrap together this entire message today, in chapter 34, it's simply this reminder. Remember the character of God, because in chapter 34, if you look at verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren of the third and fourth generation. Moses made haste. Watch what transpired. He hears how God works, his character. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are obstinate. Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your own possession. The question is this, are you ready for God to show up? Because if you are, you will pitch a tent, you will find a friend, you will be very specific about what you ask God to do, and you will know his character is true to whatever you're facing. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word. It speaks to our hearts and lives. Thank you for the opportunity today to ask you to show up in our lives. In this very room, there could be some who are looking for an answer that would take them to exactly where you want them to go. Lord, in this very room could be those who are looking to become a part of who we are, and they understand just by the little simple stories of your favor, that your favor has rested on this place, And even in these days that have just passed, when we see the beauty of how you reach in the hearts and lives of children through Bible school, as you impacted lives and different mission encounters, as you set in motion your purpose for our church, we realize your favor has rested on one heart. So, Lord, I pray for each person. They would respond to you, experience you, encounter you, and understand that your favor is undeniable. It is the promise that is given for all those who choose to obey. Thank you for the pictures we see in the Bible that remind us over and over again of your amazing, amazing favor that speaks to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.